Hello and welcome to another episode of The Grind Bin. I'm Mike Wood.
I'm Chris Hughes.
And I'm Bobby Trippett.
And today, continuing our summer sequel month, we have 1987's House 2, The Second Story.
Bobby, dig up Grandpa.
Hey, Bobby, I got the money.
Yeah, I made the team.
But you're a hooker.
Get that goddamn thing out of your mouth.
I don't know.
You could have looked decent once in a while. And maybe Daddy would have had to kill himself because he couldn't get it up anymore.
What a shame.
Come on, just step on the gas before we get creepy.
And
so guys, House 2, here we are back in our summer sequel month. It's been ups and downs so far.
Feeling real positive about summer sequel month, Mike.
I would say massive ups and downs. Massive downs, slight ups. We had Surf 2, which we could barely get through. Might be the first movie to almost not actually finish the episode.
It almost broke you.
Fast forward style. Like, we just had to fucking finish that
one. Our first mid-episode walkout. Our first of, I'm sure, many.
Well, you know, we'll see how House 2 goes. But hey, Bobby, start the van.
Hey, Bobby, I got the money.
Yeah, I need the key.
There you go. I told you we could end it at any moment. So I'm ending this episode right now.
You need at least give the cast before you can explain why this movie sucked.
We can do this, Mike. Together, we will get through this.
Spoilers, this movie sucks.
Yeah, this has become a House 2 support group.
Well, this
we're all
is,
survivors.
No, this is the sad part, is that this movie was recommended by great friend of the show, Sean Thompson over at looserounds.com. Sean had donated to this show and actually sent us what's right in front of us, these wonderful patches.
These are
grind
awesome.
Grind bin patches. One for everybody here. We have DeVito, Bobby, Grindbin, Crown, DeVito. So we're going to take some pictures, throw these up on the Twitter. Thank you, Sean, so much.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
And he wanted us to do this movie with his donation. Like I always say, the Grindbin can be bought, and Sean donates and helps us run this show. He has picked great movies before in the past. We had Savage Sisters, which I really enjoyed that movie.
Amazing.
Masquer Mafia style. I mean,
great
good
movie.
God, one of the best movies we've covered. And I told him, I go, Sean, you can pick any movie because I trust your judgment. I don't trust your judgment anymore, Sean. I understand why people could like this movie. However, I do not.
We're still friends, but
I got the joke of why he would recommend this movie.
Why is that?
It's just fucking terrible.
I think this is one that it's like maybe people saw it when they were younger. This is definitely, to me, this is like a movie that would play on HBO on a fucking loop all summer.
Oh, no
question. You
know
what I mean?
And if you're very young, there's a lot about this movie that you'd think was awesome.
Yeah, you know, a movie that I saw so many times, and you watched it with me, Hughes, is we must have seen that fucking Chairman of the Board Carrot Top movie about 900 times one
great,
summer.
Great, great summer.
Not seen it.
Every day we would come home, it would just be on HBO, and we would just, wherever it was, just kind of watch it through. I've seen that movie one too many times, which is once. And I've seen it so many times.
So you've seen House 2 more times.
No. I've seen Chairman of the Board hundreds of times.
Okay.
Chairman of the Board, go ahead and try to look up anything. I was looking at this the other day. Look up anything from that movie. It barely exists on the internet. It's like somebody just literally buried that fucking movie and you can't find it. Because there's that part where Carrot Top has all those stupid post-it notes on him. I tried to find that picture just to send to somebody the other day. Be like, oh, this will be an obscure reference. Good luck fucking finding it. Not one person in the whole world has ever uploaded a picture from Chairman of the Board.
And I don't think I've ever seen it referenced on Family Guy, which would probably grab something obscure like that. Nothing. This movie doesn't exist outside of Las Vegas.
As far as anybody knows, Carrot Top never made a movie.
Yeah.
Now he's all
except for the people who get him confused with Yahoo Serious. I'm sure that happens.
Now he's all like, he's buff top now.
He's really strange looking now.
And I've always said, like, you can't be a comedian if you're buff. It's just not funny anymore. Like, how do you do self-deprecating humor when you're just like, I don't know, some sort of strong man?
Have you ever actually seen someone try to do that? Like,
what?
Watched a comedian who's like buff and attractive trying to do the self-deprecating thing? It rings so false, the crowd cannot get into it.
The Bonadici Comedy Hour.
Okay, so guys, budget. For this movie,
$5.
I want Prices Rights.
I want $5 on this.
You're gonna go $5. Wow. I'm gonna say, all right, what year
please
was this again?
Please do six. Do four.
$1, Bob.
Okay, no, give me a real one.
A real number?
Hughes does $5, so he's already going low.
All right, what year was this again?
1987.
1987. Okay, I'm going to say this thing cost $6 million.
Jesus, no.
Hughes, you have won $3
million. $3 million. I felt like I went over
and
on that one.
And it made $10 million.
What?
It was a huge success.
Not huge, but it was a success. Yeah, House 2 was a success.
It tripled their money.
It launched the career of Bill Maher.
Man, I already hated this movie.
Bill Maher and Royal Dano.
And then apparently to aid in the promotion of the movie, this is the only IMDb trivia there is, a number of giveaway items were sent to theaters. These included Crystal Skull nightlights and Caterpuppy figurines.
The Caterpuppy. That took off big, didn't it?
That makes sense why the Crystal Skull nightlight, that's how we got that one Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Indiana Jones.
Is this
Jones,
a shared universe?
Do you think that fucking Sean Cunningham saw Temple of Doom? Like, do you think he saw that movie before making this one?
Maybe.
Maybe he fucking saw it on so much cocaine. He's like, you know what? I've always had this idea about guys and, like, this temple, and they're doing this Kali Ma thing and alternate universes. And
I thought it was a mix of Dust Till Dawn and Indiana Jones and Crystal Skull.
This was like
adventure.
This was seriously the fucking biggest ripoff. And how, like, not only Indiana Jones, but the Indiana Jones ride.
Yes, it was just the ride.
Did they film this at Disneyland, this fucking movie, with the way the set looks? All right, so nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about. Let's get to the rest of the crew.
This fucking movie.
Let's bring the pain. Let's rip the Band-Aid.
So director and writer, thank God there's only one. He was the screenwriter for the original, Ethan Wiley. I didn't even mention his name. Screenwriter for the original House in 1985, but House 2 was his first directing effort.
Which, you know, compared to this one, House 1's a masterpiece.
I've never seen House 1.
It's fun. It's all right. Got a really? Zombie dude named Big Ben. It's kind of cool.
Oh, well, maybe we should have done that.
Too late now.
He has 7 directing credits and 9 writing. In 1998, he wrote and directed Children of the Corn 5, Fields of Terror.
Wow.
Then he went on to 2006, Blackwater Valley Exorcism, and then 2012, the modern-day Christmas opus, Elfman, which he wrote and directed, which stars Wee Man from Jackass.
Is this a Oingo Boingo biopic?
No.
No,
it is a Christmas movie where Wee Man saves Christmas. So.
Oh, God.
Oh, we need to see this.
Oh, God. Do we?
No.
I don't think we do.
That could be another Hughes Choose podcast. You could do it yourself.
Our spinoff podcast, the Hughes Choose. When he gets fired
from
the show.
I'll put it onto YouTube with all the clips.
If more people join the Patreon, we'll do that Hughes Choose spinoff. Just all Hughes all the time. So he's still directing and writing some direct-to-video stuff. Sean Cunningham, who we've mentioned, is the producer of this movie. Now, Sean Cunningham...
He may have done something.
...is most well-known, I would say most well-known, for being the director and producer of Friday the 13th. He went on to direct quite a few more movies, not as many as he produced, though. I have a few of his directing efforts were 1983's Spring Break, 1985's The New Kids, but he probably is known mostly for producing.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
And including 1972, the producer of Last House on the Left.
Mm-hmm. He and Wes, that was their team up.
1985, he produced the House movie. 1993, Jason Goes to Hell. 2001, Jason X, he only executive produced that one. 2003, Freddy vs. Jason. In 2009, he actually produced the remake of Friday the 13th, which I did not know.
Yeah, he was involved.
Okay. I haven't seen that one, but I don't have any interest. So.
You know, watch the first 10 minutes. And then just,
oh, I thought you
and
were
then
say,
just
watch
walk
the
away.
First 10.
Oh, we watched the first 10.
I saw Jason X in the theaters, and I stand by that.
You know,
was that the one with the corkscrew death?
Yes.
Yo,
what happened to this guy?
Quality movie.
The best part of Jason X is when he takes that lady's face out of the liquid nitrogen and smashes it on a counter.
Oh yeah,
that was great. Then we have Ari Gross. Okay, so let's get into the cast. Okay, Ari Gross, who plays Jesse, 116 credits.
Well played.
Still acting steadily in movies and TV, and some of the movies he's been in. Whew. I mean, he's a real Hollywood actor. He went.
What does that
to,
mean?
What's a fake Hollywood actor?
I didn't even write him down. He's in fucking huge movies as like small parts. He has been acting steadily since this movie came out and ever since. But of course, I'm not going to write down his good movies.
He's like a stabilizer muscle. You know, it's like it's not the one you're showing off, but it's one that keeps everything going.
Some of these movies he's been in, though, yikes.
Let's hear it.
He went to UCI, and he went on to study acting at the South Coast Repertory.
Oh, really?
So he is a local guy. He's from Orange County.
Shakespeare in the Park.
And he got his start in the South Coast over in Costa Mesa acting group.
Hometown boy.
He was in a lot of different stage productions down there and as well as LA before eventually breaking into the movies and TV. His first movie I have written down was he was in Exterminator 2 in 1984.
Wow.
As the character of Turbo.
You know, I never saw part 2. Did you?
Yeah, it's...
I like part 1.
Part 1's great. Like, part 2 was
Larry
not
Bird
good
playing
enough.
Playing the Punisher.
Yeah. Part 2 was not good enough for the bid.
Okay.
I had it on a big box set, and I was like, nope.
Nope.
1985, he was in Just One of the Guys, if you've ever seen that one. They remade that movie with Amanda Bynes, and they called it like...
Just One of the Guys with Amanda Bynes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They called it like some shit where she pretended she was a boy. This was years ago. They remade it. It's don't watch either of them.
Okay, so. I won't.
1986, though, he went in to star in a movie I own on DVD, which I'm sure is fucking out of print, and I bought it as soon as I saw it in Best Buy because I'm like, oh boy, this was an oversight. This was a mistake. He was in Soul Man.
Oh God.
Great movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I own that DVD. I'm sure it's worth something. Because do you think that somebody released that and they're like, whoa, what are we doing? Yeah.
When's that Blu-ray coming out?
Instant classic.
Soul Man Blu-ray. If you don't know what Soul Man is, it stars C. Thomas Howell as a black man. And C. Thomas Howell is a white man. And he overdoses on tanning pills.
To get a scholarship to a college, you see.
Yeah. Yeah. And James Earl Jones in that movie. It's one of his finest moments. So.
It goes like Star Wars, Soul Man.
Yeah.
So then under that, Lion King.
In Soul Man, by the way, not only does he like... Okay, so he ends up taking those tanning pills, and he clearly is in blackface in the movie. It's very bad.
It's rough.
And then he not only does that, but he walks around doing like a freaking jive accent.
Oh,
like,
boy.
It is bad.
Yeah, that's...
On the grounds with Be Kind Rewind. When Jack Black goes into blackface?
Oh, it's much worse. Oh. Like, he's walking around going like, hey, brother, and all this stuff. Like,
he's just short of singing Manny.
You know, yeah. You know Anthony Michael Hall in Weird Science when he goes to that jazz club and he starts putting on his Scatman accent? Yeah. Yeah, it's like that.
80s were a rough time, man.
Yeah. That was 1986.
God.
Holy fuck. How far we've come.
It's crazy to think that was in our lifetime.
That movie came out after I was born.
Like, I'd understand if, you know, granddad watched this as a kid. No.
Yeah. And then 1988, he was in a movie called The Couch Trip.
The Couch Trip.
Which is something about Dan Aykroyd being an escaped mental patient that gets a radio show or something.
It's a documentary?
Yeah, he's going on about ancient aliens and crystal skulls.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Speaking of crystal skulls.
It all comes together.
And then 1988, he was in Tequila Sunrise, and I just write, there's just too many movies to name. I didn't write him down, but recently he was in the show Castle. He was on that show for quite a few episodes.
All right.
And he's currently filming 3 movies right now. He is in a ton of shit.
Hell yeah.
Jonathan Stark, who plays Charlie, now he's actually much less known for his acting, but boy, his sense of humor is going to come back, guys, in something you will not be surprised that he created.
Oh, really?
He has had some bit roles here and there in movies and TV, but he is mostly known as a, I would say, accomplished TV writer at this point in time.
Accomplished TV writer.
Here it comes. He wrote 3 episodes of Cheers. That will come into play later.
Oh, God.
He was a staff writer on the show Ellen.
Oh, really?
And then he went on to be the creator and writer of the show According to Jim.
Oh, which, God.
Oh, everybody's... that makes 100% sense.
Everyone's favorite Belushi. Yep, Charlie in this movie created that TV show.
Is that Belushi alive still, too?
Yes.
We're all waiting for the day when Jim Belushi just finally kicks the fucking bucket.
Oh,
but
man.
Then
we're going to run into the town square and pull down his statue, right?
Yeah. Did you know that J.J. Abrams wrote a Jim Belushi movie?
No.
Yes, he did.
Cloverfield?
No. He wrote this Jim Belushi movie with him breaking out of jail or something to see a Cubs game. Lar Park Lincoln, who plays Kate in this movie, not recognizable to you, huh, Hughes?
What was the name? No.
Now Lar Park Lincoln.
So you haven't
hugely
seen...
Hugely recognizable to me.
Let me get into this. Okay. Yeah. Her first movie was 1987's The Princess Academy, which was billed as The Porky's for Women. But everybody says it is not close. It is just a pile of shit.
You don't say.
Just like Porky's.
I was going to say, was Porky's a good movie?
No, it's about a bunch of girls that go to some stuck-up academy, and then they just, you know, hijinks ensue.
Is there a glory hole scene in that, too?
No, but I read a real sick critic type review today for it where somebody's like, there's no boobs, there's nothing. Why, how is this Porky's?
Oh my God. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Then she was in an episode of a fucking show that will not stop appearing on this podcast, O'Hara, starring Pat Morita, the uncop.
He does. I feel like we need to cover an episode as a mini bin.
So I would like to announce now that when we eventually start doing mini bins again, I think that we are going to start doing TV show episodes.
I think that's
for
a good idea. We got the Heil Honey I'm Home episode.
We are going to do Heil Honey I'm Home. We're going to do some of those massive, very, very offensive episodes of Three's Company,
yes,
which I think would be great mini bin fodder. I think we will definitely cover an episode of O'Hara, which might be the most boring show on television.
Fantastic. Let's make that mini bin longer than a regular episode.
He doesn't drive, he doesn't shoot, he doesn't do shit. Pat Morita is O'Hara.
He gets white kids to paint his fence.
1988.
White? I thought he was Hispanic.
No, he's saying he got... You think Pat Morita's
no,
Hispanic?
No,
no.
Oh, Ralph Macchio? No, he's Italian.
Oh, God.
It's funny you should mention Ralph Macchio, by
famous
the way.
Famous Latino actor about Ralph Macchio. It ends in an O. It's like he's Hispanic, right?
It's his masculine.
Yeah, everybody confuses me for a Hispanic man. I will say this, though. It's funny you mention Ralph Macchio on this episode because there is other trivia about House 2. There has been a comic adaptation of this movie for Marvel Comics.
Not the same Ralph Macchio.
Made
but...
by Ralph Macchio. And I was like, no. And I clicked on it and it was like, this is not the same Ralph Macchio. And I'm like, well, I won't mention that on the episode. And then Hughes brought it out.
And so, here we are.
There you go. But Larp Hart-Lincoln is probably most well known to Grindbin audiences and most horror fans for 1988's Friday the 13th, Part 7.
That is my favorite in that series.
She is the telepathic lady.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They wanted to do Freddy versus Jason. They couldn't handle it, so they were like, Jason versus Carrie. But they couldn't get Carrie specifically. They were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to make up our own.
Get that girl from House, too.
Sean already knew her.
You know, that one that went off with Bill Maher that we never saw again.
Now, that movie's great when she's fighting Jason with her telepathic abilities because it's kind of Home Alone.
Yeah. Yeah, like, she shuts up like a Home Alone house for Jason.
She hits him with a light bulb and he falls down the stairs.
Fucking A, they should have had Freddy versus Kevin. Or no, Jason versus Kevin. Like, that would have been great. A fucking...
No. Kevin... you know what works? Michael Myers.
There you go.
It's like, Halloween.
Kevin McAllister's Home Alone and Michael Myers shows up and there's like a house of horrors for Michael.
Just
you know?
Watching him silently have to deal with all this shit.
Breathe heavily.
He steps on a nail and just stands there quietly for a second.
He no-sells all the paint cans.
Yeah, just boom. just slowly shakes his head.
They totally could have done this. Like, that would be... Oh. They should do it now.
All right, if any listeners have artistic abilities, could you mock up a poster of this?
Yeah, we'll write the script. Don't worry. We got it going. We'll get the kid from Mikey to be in it.
Can you make a poster for Halloween Alone?
It was Macaulay, or we can get, what's his name, Frankie Muniz. He still looks like a kid.
No, I think we should get Macaulay Culkin, Mikey, who's Brian Bonsall, right? And Haley Joel Osment to all be in a movie where they set up a house of horrors for Michael Myers. This movie is going off the rails. Sorry. Then Larp Hart-Lincoln went on to be a regular on the soap opera of Knott's Landing for 4 years. She's still acting in some upcoming movies, including Sky Sharks, which is a movie about Nazis making sharks that can fly.
I'm in.
And it has the Candyman himself in it, Tony Todd.
Fantastic.
Then here's another one. This is probably, I would say she's probably one of the most famous actresses in this movie, is Amy Yazbeck, who plays Lana in this movie. A lot of listeners will know her from movies in the 90s, and then she kind of just disappeared, even though she still does acting in TV and movies today, but nowhere near what she was in during the 90s. I mean, she was on fire with her acting. This was her first movie, which is odd.
This is her first movie in 87.
No, this is her first movie ever.
And then what, 90?
Well, we'll get into it. Okay. She went on to be a lot of TV shows and a few big movies. 1990, she was in Pretty Woman. 1990, she was then in Problem Child.
Of course.
And of course, Problem Child 2. Then she was in Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Maid Marian.
The Mask. Dracula, Dead and Loving It. And then she went on to be a regular cast member on the show Wings for years. She's still acting in TV and movies today, but it's no more starring roles, so...
Can we get the Problem Child in our Halloween movie?
Oh, fuck yeah. What do you think? You think that kid still wears a bow tie?
Oh, he has to, right?
I know one of the photo doubles for...
He's doing convention appearances in the bow tie?
I know one of the photo doubles for Problem Child, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. So then Royal Dano, who plays Gramps, He was in a ton of stuff. He has 192 credits.
He's in one of my favorite movies.
Oh, which one is that?
He is the old man at the beginning of Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I had that one written down.
Absolutely.
But 1955, he was in The Trouble with Harry, which is a Hitchcock movie. Awesome. It's one I have never seen, but it sounds great. It was like the tagline is, the problem with Harry is he doesn't know he's dead or something. Like,
you know, I've seen the cover art a lot, but yeah. I've never actually watched it.
It's an interesting looking one. Then he was in 1976's Outlaw Josie Wales.
Awesome.
Great movie.
Yep. 1980. That's the first time I ever saw like nudity on screen as a child. My dad was like, oh, I think you can see this. And there's that part where that lady gets raped. And I was like, oh, boy, as a 10-year-old watching.
Yeah, that that's, movie. That's uncomfortable.
He's like, you know, this movie's rated PG. It's all right for the boy. I was like, And now I watch these movies. Then he was in 1988.
So you turned out fine.
1988, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, like you mentioned.
Gold.
He was in the same year. He was in Ghoulies 2.
Fantastic.
And then his last movie was something called The Dark Half in 93.
Something called The Dark Half? That's the Stephen King adaptation.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
That's great. Yeah. It's a good book, too.
Stephen King has a good one?
He based it on... yeah, right? Well, he based it on his actual life because he wrote under a different name.
Yeah.
Richard Bachman. And about a writer who decides to stop using his alias, and then killer from his stories he wrote as that alias manifests into reality to force him into going back to writing as that alias. I think I'm getting that right.
Hence,
I haven't seen that shit since like the 90s.
The Dark Half.
Yep.
That was his last credit, because then he passed away in 94 at the age of 71, which made him like just into his 60s when he was in this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like...
He looked 100.
He looked way fucking older. I mean, I know it's the makeup and all, but
honestly, if you watch Killer Clowns, which is the next year, I want to say.
It was 1 year later.
Yeah, he looks way old there too.
Yeah.
Like he is playing the old man in that movie.
smoking liquor and sun, and then hanging out with John Wayne.
Yeah, like, that'll do it to you.
Because he did all those episodes of Bonanza, so you're like, no sunscreen.
And hanging out with Bill Maher.
Oh, Bill Maher sucked his soul.
Speaking of it, Bill Maher's in this movie. He plays the character John. No intro needed.
Much needed at all, to be honest with you.
I'm not really going to give him an intro, a background either. John Ratzenberger, who plays Bill.
Now we're talking.
Who is better known as Cliff from Cheers, is in this movie. And he's also in like every Pixar movie, if you didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
He saved this movie. Like a part of this movie he made enjoyable.
Honestly,
to watch.
He really did. It's the one scene in this movie I even remotely enjoy.
They should have fucking had him in scene one. This movie should have been like right away they called the repairman and then he comes in.
And honestly, would have been great. I mean, we'll get into it more when he shows up as we're going through the film, but that would have been how to spin out of this series. I would have watched a movie about this repairman and his adventures.
I know. Yeah, we'll get into it when he comes in there.
We'll get there when we get there.
So guys, let's get... Oh, before we get started, let's take a listen to the trailer.
Last year, audiences everywhere thrilled to a terrifying film about the horrors of home ownership. House. Now, there's an all-new house.
It's like you got some kind of alternate universe in there or something.
With brand new owners.
Charlie.
Huh?
We got it.
And it's getting weirder.
Look, it's a prehistoric bird!
I've seen enough tragedy and disaster to make you want to upchuck in your shorts.
Two friends inherit a fantastic house.
Charlie, there's a jungle in there.
And a 170-year-old mummy.
Surprise!
Who is this?
You can call me Gramps.
Now, they're in for more trouble than they ever imagined.
You're gonna kick the door open, run in there blindly, and I'll cover you, okay?
Guy with the big gun goes first.
Don't need you, idiot.
House 2, the second story.
This place gives me the creeps.
We get into the movie, guys. Oh, by the way, nice trailer. We get into the movie, guys. We go to this big house.
We open on 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
It looked like Clue. It looked like Clue.
Yeah, it's a Clue house.
Which is a great movie, as opposed to this one.
Just something on the Universal lot or something. Like
basically, this has been a lot of things.
This movie looks like such a fucking set. It's insane. Like, I almost expect that, where is the end of this line? What ride will it lead to? I mean, it's just...
You see the tram pulling by in the background.
So we start at this big house, and this lady, she has a crying baby, and this car horn honks outside, right? And she's like yelling for this guy Clarence to come outside. And then these two people, so they go outside, and then they give their baby and luggage to a man and a woman dressed in black driving a 1950s car. So like the Men in Black or something.
Yeah, pulling away. Like it looked like a hotel entrance. I had no idea what was going on. First off, they just honked and it was like, okay, they're here. We need to get this done. I'm like, why is there a rush? You haven't built a single thing as to why we need to care about any of this.
Yeah, I'm like, did I start too late? Was there a scene missing?
Why give a name Clarence if we're not going to ever need to know that fucking name?
That's very true.
That stuck with me the entire movie. Like, where the fuck is Clarence?
Also, is there supposed to be misdirection in this movie? We'll get to that. So they cry about it and they go back inside, right? And then inside the house, I write, is decorated like the Indiana Jones ride.
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem when you make a movie and you build these sets and then you don't make it look like it's real. Like, it looks so fucking fake, it's insane. Like, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but it looks like when you're waiting in line for the Indiana Jones ride. There's, like, no dirt anywhere. It's, like, an old house with, like, I don't know, Mayan ruins built into it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no way to really describe it. That's what it is.
It's like they built...
John Rhys Davies is telling us to put our seatbelts on.
It's a fiberglass walled, made to look old, but brand new.
It's either Mayan chic, like that was the, the decor at the time, or they like took like a Mayan temple and built a big mansion around it.
It's like if just off camera on Legends of the Hidden Temple, there was a big church. You know, there's like a big stained glass window. And
yeah, I think... Legends of Hidden Temple. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I was waiting for Olmec to show up.
Yeah, where's the blue barracudas?
The purple monkeys?
If two kids ran by wearing helmets and knee pads, it wouldn't have given me pause. Like, it fits just as well as anything.
Wait, so you're telling me when those temple guards came out, he could have just dangled the pendant at him and went away?
And they'd have left him alone.
You know, I mean, think about it.
This whole movie was just to build the monkey.
did Sean Cunningham make fucking Legends of the Hidden Temple? Because you
we
think
look
about
at
it,
and see if he produced it.
This fucking movie is just Legends of the Hidden Temple. Now that I think about it, it literally has the same shit. It's like if you had just replaced, that fucking monkey they build on that show with a crystal skull you put in the fucking mantle.
Lar Park Lincoln and Bill Maher running through the temple.
Bill Maher. Phil Maher produced Legend of Tell. He's like, I was in this shit movie a long time ago.
And then drops the N-word.
Basically, okay, so they go inside to the Legend of the Hidden Temple, right? And Kirk Fogg comes down from the ceiling with his little thing, and he's like, all right, everybody, welcome to the show.
he repels in.
Yeah, he repels in. And the wall starts talking. It's like, oh,
So Ratzenberger actually voices.
They really did need an Olmec in this movie.
Absolutely.
Like, that would have been fucking amazing if the wall talk
just formed into a face real quick.
Yeah, but instead we get a fucking bird. So so they grab a gun. This couple, like, grabs a gun and they walk down a hall to investigate this sound. And then they go in a room with, like, more taxidermy. This whole house is filled with a bunch of taxidermy.
We got a whole taxidermied horse.
That's what I say, a full-size
the
stuffed
original
horse.
Mr. Ed is in there is with a little plaque next to him.
This is like a Kentucky Derby loser. That's
Did you see that scene when they're walking down the hall and they have the like full size buffalo, half a buffalo? I expected it to jump out of the walls and trample them down the hallway.
You know,
very Evil Dead, like everything.
I thought it was going to be a scary movie. Well, first off, this movie's not scary. It's billed as being scary.
This movie is PG-13, by the way. It was made for kids, pretty
it's
much.
It's clearly a kids movie.
I wish I would have saw this.
We'll talk more about
that
later, actually. I wanted to discuss that.
So we see the full size stuffed horse. Seabiscuit.
Which we will see again in the movie. You know,
I thought he was going to come alive. Like, I really wanted the scene of, like, that horse just
buck up on his hind.
It's like, otherwise, what the fuck is the point of having this full-size horse? Like, that must have been an expensive prop.
It was left there. And they didn't want to move it.
Like they were just filming in the prop room at Universal, and they're like, anybody get this horse out of here?
You were trying to get a full-size horse out of a door?
How they got it. They brought this thing upstairs and everything. It's like, Jesus Christ. You imagine the movers bringing
this
thing?
They let it up the stairs alive. That's the only way you get it in there.
They go like, well, you want the horse, Mr. So-and-so? And he's like, hey, why don't we put it up in the study? He's like, really? It would like look real nice here in the living room. No. Have you ever had movers and they ask you, like, hey, where do you want this? And you're like, hey, how about the bedroom? They're like, you know, not right here. Or
no.
It's like,
I've only ever
do
moved
your fucking
myself.
Job.
I had movers, but I was putting in hardwood, so they couldn't move anything in, so I just moved it onto my driveway.
That was the best job they've ever taken. Wow.
Yeah, they were
amazing.
So happy.
Just leave it all out front.
Okay, so we go, and there's this ghost cowboy in this room, right?
Yeah, it looks like the ghost of Ronnie Van Zant. The hair and the hat. That's when I saw the silhouette. I was just like, oh, that smell.
And ooh. So then the ghost boy, right?
The ghost boy.
The cowboy ghost.
Yeah, ghost boy. So, like, the guy tries to draw with the ghost boy, but then he gets shot in the chest.
One thing to point out when Ronnie Van Zant draws a gun on him, he says, give me the skull.
I want your skull. Or want the skull.
Yeah, he's singing the Misfits.
Yeah.
But one thing to point out, though, is this is Frank Welker, and he's doing his Dr. Claw voice.
Wait, is that the actual the person that did
Megatron?
Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah, that's what I thought
the
whole time.
He's doing
the
Soundwave voice without the voice modulation.
There you go, Welker.
If that voice sounded familiar, that's who that is. That's Frank Welker.
Go look at his IMDb one day. He has,
if you have all day,
like 1,000 credits.
Oh, it's like a Tom Kenny.
Yeah.
He just did the voice of everything.
Mm-hmm. Frank Welker is like the most prolific voice actor.
Yeah, so he had to make his fucking stink of a show in this movie, I'm sure.
You know what? Whoever's hiring.
Money's money.
Yep.
He does like 5 movies in a day, I think, this guy.
And a good half of his voices that he does are Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget. Like, it's just that voice.
Dr. Claw was a great character.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's a great voice. And that's why they used it again in Transformers. Or was that first? Either way.
Okay, so he shoots the guy in the chest, right? The dad dies. And then he corners this woman and he asks for the skull. And we cut to outside and he shoots her off screen. And then we just see a title that says 25 years later. I'm like, okay.
Here come the yuppies.
Did we need any of this?
So now you're telling me...
Sort of.
Well, I guess, but you're telling me, though, that Jesse is, what, 26?
Has to be.
Yeah, around that, 26, 27?
I guess. I don't know. He didn't look it, but maybe. So a couple pulls up outside, and Jesse and Kate, okay?
The
so
responsible
Lar
couple.
Park and this guy, Jesse. They... What'd you say?
The responsible couple of the two.
Yeah, because there's the two, other couple.
Yeah, there's two couples. There's
Jesus Christ.
There's Jesse and whatever.
Jesse and Kate.
Kate, then there's Charlie and Lana.
Well, we should say Jesse and this doormat of a woman, because he treats this lady like shit. And then the whole part when she leaves, by the way, and he's all sad about it, I'm like, are you really, guy? Because you're a total fucking asshole.
Everyone in this movie is an asshole.
Everybody's an asshole in this movie.
There's no one to cheer for.
By the way, is there a woman who will show up in this movie and then completely disappear halfway through and you'll never find out what happened to her? Yeah, there is.
Yeah, uh-huh.
There is. And we plant that seed hard. And it goes nowhere. So Jesse and Kate walk in, and they're like full on. Okay, I wrote Kate went full on into the 1980s shoulder pads.
Oh, yeah.
Because she looks like a fucking Giants linebacker. Like,
oh, yeah.
like Shredder.
Like fucking Lawrence Taylor.
She's Road Warrior animal. she's one of the Legion of Doom in this thing.
Her fucking, like, this is the biggest, like, I've seen shoulder pads before, but I've never seen shoulder pads like this. This is to a new level. And then they go into this new house, right? Or this house, the big house, right?
The Hidden Temple.
Yeah. And they go to the Hidden Temple, and then the first remark she says is, Jesse says, but it's definitely not built to code.
And technically, depending on when this thing was built, obviously 30 plus years ago, it was built to code then.
30 years ago? I thought this house was like hundreds of years old.
Let's say if it was hundreds of years old, whatever. But 25 years is all we have to go on, right?
Yeah.
What the hell does he know about the code 30 years ago in 1950?
I think you've blown this one right open, Hughes.
If, you know what? Hughes's dad is watching this movie being like, oh, god damn it. I hate when they do this in movies.
Oh, God. My dad ruins everything.
We should say he's in construction, not that he's a big critic of
he remodels
architecture in movies. Yeah,
he remodels children's hospitals.
Yeah, so he gets really upset with codes.
So
we hear that generations. So Hughes, it is an old house. It says generations of Jesse's family have lived here. Apparently, they walk inside, and Kate's like, she goes, "Who decorated it?" And I write, "Imagineers is my guess."
To think Disney had anything to do with this?
Well, I don't know. It certainly looks like Disneyland.
It definitely looks like Universal copy.
Yeah,
of Disney.
This looks more like the Mummy ride than it does. The Mummy ride, if you ever went on that, was so fucking shitty. It was just a roller coaster that was so shitty, you didn't even ride it once. You had to ride it again backwards. Like you rode this shitty ride for a little bit. You would just bump up and down, and then you got to a wall, and then it just reversed.
Do you remember the E.T. ride was like the ride that everybody wanted to go on, and it just sucked. There's nothing great about the mummy ride.
You sit on a bicycle, you give it a fake name, and hope that E.T. says it.
It's basically Peter Pan with a robot at the end to say your name.
It absolutely is. That's all it is.
But then they put in the mummy ride, which was the go forward, go back roller coaster, and now it's apparently the Transformers ride, which I've never been on. But I'm sure it's just as bad.
Transformers 4D.
And there is a mummy ride again, but it's a different ride now. It's like Mummy 4D.
It's called things. The Mummy, I guess.
But it's kind of fun. I did it last October.
Oh, did Tom Cruise show up?
like a Johnny Depp thing?
Was he like, it's a mummy.
For Mummy Impossible?
Mummy Impossible. So we see that somebody has decorated this house. Like, they're getting ready for Resident of the Hidden Temple to come in, right? Do you think this is actually the origin story of Kirk Fogg? Like, do you think that Jesse is just the host from Legend of the Hidden Temple?
I like this. You know what? Headcanon accepted.
Jesse looks at this mantle right above the fireplace, and there's some sort of carving in this. He's just like, something must be missing. And I read, I bet it's that skull that Ghost Boy was so worried about.
How the fuck did you tell that something was missing? And did you see that, like, there was little baby skulls underneath it, and he didn't make any mention of those?
No, I wasn't paying that much attention.
So, you've watched this movie twice. How have you not paid attention?
I tried.
His eyes were clenching. His fists, his teeth, and his eyes were all clenched as he watched this.
Did you notice this, though, by the way? Somebody says the power doesn't work, but then for some reason somebody's paying the phone bill?
Hey, why not?
Yeah, and this house is built generations ago, but it has electricity?
Okay, and then I also wrote, okay, so the power doesn't work. Like, I'm moving recently. I'm like, did you call the power company and tell them to set up a fucking account?
One of the interdimensional portals leads you to the Department of Water and Power.
It's like, if you don't call the power company, I doubt that somebody just has it in their name for decades. Like, it just doesn't work that way.
It's all prepaid.
Did they ever explain why he even got back to the house? Or that he was a little kid?
No, they just show
or
up.
Or who he grew up with?
No, and we will never talk about it. They just show up one day. For all we know, he's not related to any of these people, and it could have been more interesting.
You be thankful it didn't explain it, because this movie would have been longer.
Yeah, but I
bet somewhere out there there's a 3-hour cut of House 2.
Yeah, way to miss it on that one, Arrow.
So I write, well, somebody's apparently paying the phone bill, right? And then Kate makes a call for business while Jesse flips through some old family album, and he finds a picture of his mom and dad holding him as a baby.
And he does this amazing exposition bullshit that you see in movies all the time. He's looking down a photo of his own mother and father, and he goes, I don't believe it. That's my mom and dad, he says to us, apparently.
Like, yeah, we met them. Yeah, you didn't.
We saw. Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so now we know that he was that baby in the beginning.
Yeah, but does he know that they died or how they died?
And
or...
also, what, like, do we ever learn, like,
the Leonard Skinner guy shot him?
Yeah. And we also never, yeah, wait, hold on. How did he even know who his parents were?
How, like, do you recognize a baby, like, picture of yourself?
Who, yeah, by the way, who told him, like, who was taking care of him? Okay. Anybody?
No.
Illuminati, man.
I mean, because, well, apparently...
He got put in a basket and dropped in the sewer like Cobblepot.
Because they gave him to, like, fucking Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones in the beginning of this movie. And these people just drove off with him to, I don't know, put him in some sort of government lab. But who brought him up that he would know what his parents look like, unless he has the best...
It's all going to be explained in House 5.
Okay. Yeah, it was never going to be explained. Do not look for it in this movie.
But then, okay.
Some Hughes clues are lost to time.
Let's just cut to later. They're in the bed sleeping, right? Jesse, Kate. And then Jesse comes back up downstairs to look at more books. So basically we cut from one scene to just the fucking same scene. So, like, it's like, all right, they go to bed. He goes back downstairs and just looks at books. Then he hears some sounds. He goes around. He investigates this closet. And then he gets hit on the head by a falling ironing board. And I go, oh, it's one of these.
Yep. It's going to be hilarious.
Oh, boy. Strap in.
We got a real Army of Darkness in front of us.
Your favorite movie. your favorite Bruce Campbell movie, Army of Darkness.
Yeah. It's a real Sam Raimi classic, you know? You know that part in Army of Darkness when we have to spend an hour of him running around trying to kill mini Bruce Campbells?
You understand that right now there are some listeners hearing you going, you shut the fuck up.
Yeah, well, they can. Go ahead and tweet at me. I'll fucking destroy that movie. Let's do it. Let's get in a fucking fight about why Army of Darkness is definitely the worst of the Evil Dead movies and probably one of the worst Sam Raimi movies, and I am counting Spider-Man 3 in that.
Wow. So next week on the Grind Bin, Army of Darkness.
It sucks. It's the greatest first half hour to a movie I've ever seen, and then it devolves into I don't know what the fuck happens, and then by the end of it there's some sort of evil Bruce and there's these big medieval fights and everything, and it fucking blows.
I liked it.
Tell me, the middle, like the second act of that movie, what's the best part of that? Do you remember one scene?
Uh-huh. You know, I was a kid.
Yeah, here it goes.
Hey, you know, I will tell you, I will admit to this, it is my least favorite of the Army of the Evil Dead series.
Yeah, it's definitely the worst.
And that includes the TV show.
You know what, Bobby, though? This is what you just said. You liked it as a kid, didn't you?
I did.
This is exactly why people like this movie, House 2.
No question.
Because they saw it as a kid.
No one who watched this as an adult has any love for this movie.
Everybody that saw Army of Darkness as a kid, which I did not, I saw as an adult, and I was like, why is this movie so beloved? I don't fucking get it. It sucks.
We watched it, we were like 18, 19 years old.
And we were just like, well, this blows.
It's the same people who think Duke Nukem's a good video game.
Hey,
I'm in how that, dare I'm you? Actually,
oh, look what happened now.
I'm actually kidding. In that. I'm into that game.
It's the same shit, man. Yeah, he's even quoting Army of Darkness.
I know.
So, okay, we go back to them looking at books.
Nobody cares about these books.
So basically, we cut to later, and Kate's helping him with an ice pack or something. And then we hear outside some drunk guy in a convertible pulls up to the house with a girl, right? And he runs into a statue. So we're going to get this real, like, fucking Chris Columbus was watching this movie, and he's like, that would be a great gag to put in my Home Alone movie.
Yeah.
Because, boy, did they fucking rip that off.
Mm-hmm.
Every time somebody pulls up to the house, they hit over a statue like it's the fucking McAllister's house. And so then we see this drunk guy. So Charlie and his girlfriend, Lana.
Yeah.
Is it his girlfriend or his wife?
I think girlfriend. I don't think any of these people are married.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Who is this guy?
It's a friend
somehow
of Jesse's.
A family friend.
Like a longtime friend of Jesse's, right?
Hold on, though. Who is he? Because he, at some points, like acts like his brother. And he calls him grandpa and all this stuff. And like he's a fucking part of this family or something. And I'm like, this whole movie, I just kept writing all over and over. Who the fuck is this Charlie guy?
I think it's just like a childhood friend. He grew up around the family. Not that he knew grandpa,
but
they
need to tell me these things. Because I'm sitting there going like, is this his brother? Like his stepbrother or something?
Well, he acts like he owns the place.
We're supposed to love this guy and every bit of his antics. From his comedic DUI entrance.
Because he shows up like he's awesome. Gonna live in this house.
Yeah, that's
because he fucking moves right in and he never leaves.
It's a toxic
not even
friendship.
At the end of this
like,
movie
Jesse needs to stand up to this guy. You're like, no, you can't live with me.
No, he acts like he's his best friend, like he's his brother, like he's a fucking blood relative with this guy, how he treats him. Like, oh, I can't do anything without Charlie, my good person over here. Charlie, friend, brother, I don't know, we'll never use a word.
It's no wonder Jesse's relationships aren't working out. Fucking Charlie's always there.
Yeah. I think Charlie was there on the wedding night.
Definite cock block.
Get it in, Jesse. Get it in. Fuck her good.
Good Lord.
I bet he was like, here, Jesse, you know what? Get it hard and I'll put on a condom. That way.
That's how this relationship actually
fell. They're doing the Houdini?
The Houdini.
And then I show up in the window and I wave at her.
It'll get her real, real hot. Real hot.
Oh, God, those jokes. Those were those ever funny to you guys when you were kids? If people would talk about those sex moves that you're supposed to think were fucking hilarious?
I thought you were talking about Houdini a condom. I'm like, that was the first time I ever heard of that. Like what? Like people are like, hey, you ever heard of it?
You ever heard of the so-and-so?
The Angry Pirate is the only one I've heard.
Yeah, see,
shit
like that. And you're supposed to be laughing your dick off at these things. I never found that funny.
You know, hey, that's locker room humor.
Oh, that was a real bad day for me, Bobby, that one day I laughed so hard my dick fell off.
Yeah. Sitting there laughing with your dick in the dirt.
Did you write a song about it?
No. I did have to... I'm cutting this.
He took it home. He washed it off.
Charlie and Lana have showed up, and then they go inside, and I don't get this, okay? So Jesse... Okay, like, Charlie gives him a magazine with a picture of Jesse on the cover or something, like, that he's framed?
I did not get...
I'm like, what the...
That's not in my notes at all.
Yeah, I don't have that.
He goes inside, he's like, here, we got this for you.
It was a picture of Jesse?
And he fucking hands Jesse a picture of himself on a magazine cover that's framed... And he's confused. It's like, oh, thanks. They only made like a million of these.
Yeah,
or something.
I vaguely remember that.
And then Charlie and Lana just they just start humping on a living room couch in front of everybody.
Yeah, that's fun.
It sets the tone.
Yeah. And then we fade to the morning, right?
That Charlie's a card.
Oh God,
is this your card?
And Charlie and Lana are there, and I write, okay, again, this is when I write my notes. Who the fuck are these people?
We have not been properly introduced, and now they're main characters, apparently. And this to me makes no sense. Is so Lana is standing in her underwear and a shirt, and then Charlie turns on this boombox, and she starts singing really shitty. And then Kate walks in because she says it's too loud, and we learn that Charlie's apparently trying to get Kate's attention because she is like a record producer.
Yeah. Kate is a record producer. Lana is an aspiring singer. Yeah. Charlie wishes to be her manager, so he's hoping that Kate will take interest in Lana so that they can all make...
Yeah, but the only problem is, like, so Kate walks in and she's like, holy shit, I gotta get on the phone and fucking call up Bill Maher because this is... This is some real-time talent right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is a very Back to the Future moment.
Yeah, it is.
But you know the problem, sound you've been looking for?
I swear to God, she says it. She goes, John, this is what she says to them on the phone. She goes, Bill Maher, I need to get back to you. I think we might have found what we are looking for. And I write, no, you haven't.
You definitely
it's
have not.
It's horrible, and they play it off like it's good or something?
Apparently.
Okay.
It was only on for like 3 seconds.
Oh, God. Then the next time we go to the fucking basement and Jesse's like looking at pictures of ruins with a magnifying glass.
More fucking pictures and books. And this just is like... With the design of the house, I was hoping he'd find Elvira's cookbook.
Hey, what does Elvira's cookbook look like? Is it just a pair of breasts on the cover of the...
Well, in Mistress of the Dark, Dagger she finds blood. That oversized cookbook that her grandma had. Oh, yeah. She does that whole scene where she tries to cook.
Hey, you can't make fun of her. The fact that she looks exactly like she did in the 80s.
I saw Elvira live. It was the worst show I've ever seen.
Yeah, well.
So we went to the basement. He's looking at these fucking pictures of ruin, and then Charlie comes down to join him.
Charlie tries to scare him, but doesn't. And then like they had like this like bully session where you're like getting the idea that Charlie kind of runs the show, but doesn't.
Like I said, toxic friendship.
Yeah,
but it's dominating. It literally goes nowhere.
No.
And then we get this story about some skull and something about Jesse's grandfather finding it, and who fucking cares? It has the mysteries of the universe in it, and it's going to turn. Right, this is just going to turn into the Crystal Skull Indiana Jones movie.
That's exactly what I have it. He's holding the Crystal Skull like Indiana Jones.
Like, it would have been better if there was aliens involved in this movie. And maybe they would have just fucking flew that house away and we never would have had two more sequels. But instead, they decided to dig up a dead body.
Yeah. We also establish that Grandpa, or Great-Grandpa, we'll just call him Gramps since they do, had an associate named Slim Reeser.
Yeah. Okay.
So they had a falling out with each other. And I believe that's why Grandpa's dead.
So why did they go to Exuma Corpse? Is this just for shits and giggles, or did they actually have a purpose?
They're under the understanding that he got buried with the skull.
Yeah, they buried the dead with weapons
so just,
and belongings.
Just fucking just leave it.
They want to loot Grandpa.
Yeah, because they're like, you know, we should go get that skull and put it back on the mantle for no other... They don't know really anything about it. They're just like, we should just go get that fucking trinket store, you know, like a tourist trap skull from inside Grandpa's coffin.
Like, you get this when you order a specialty drink at a theme bar.
Yeah, I know. I have all sorts of Trader Sam's mugs.
Exactly. Yeah, they dim the lights and chant when you had to order it.
But they're like, we want to go get the one from Grandpa's coffin. So we
Krakatoa!
So we go to the graveyard, and they fucking dug 6 feet under, and they pull up a fucking coffin and open it. And then Jesse finds the skull, right? And a corpse grabs him by the neck and strangles him, and like Charlie thinks he's all joking.
There's this fucking joke going on that's not funny.
And then the fucking Crypt Keeper, as I write, the Crypt Keeper pops up and he goes, welcome. And then, fucking Dennis Miller shows up and it becomes Bordello of Blood and Billy Zane makes an appearance. And this is just a regular fucking Tales of the
Amy
Crypt.
Amy Asbeck turns into a vampire.
Be happy that Crypt Keeper show got canceled because they have no idea who owns the rights to it. Cause,
yeah,
like,
it got all mixed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think great. M. Night was going to show up as the Crypt Keeper. He's going to,
oh, that'd be so great. He's just like, welcome, boys and ghouls.
We're going to look at my acting from Signs.
He was in Signs?
He's in all of his movies.
He's in every movie.
Oh, in Signs, he drives by and explains that the aliens are vulnerable to water. He's the neighbor who, as he's leaving, goes, by the way, if you splash them with water, they die. Bye. And then leaves. Like, wait, what?
All right, I won the movie.
Tangent. Who was he in The Village and who was he in The Visit?
In The Village, he's the cop at the end that she sees.
When she goes outside.
Oh, my God. He's in fucking every,
and he gets
every
more
twist.
Dialogue in every one of his movies. Yeah, he comes
he's
in,
on every
he's
twist.
He's Silent Bob. He comes in to explain the movie to you.
In Split, he's fucking doing stand-up.
I haven't seen Split yet.
He's like, I love fucking Hooters. It's great.
He has a tight five in Split.
Yeah, he does.
So wait, who is he in The
M.
Visit?
Night at the Apollo.
I haven't watched The Visit yet. Have you guys seen The Visit?
The Visit,
I'm sure he's in it.
The Visit was such a good idea of a movie. executed so poorly.
That sounds like M. Night.
I'm like, oh my God, this would have been a great movie if anybody else would have done it.
Okay, we are getting so... Let's just get back in.
We got two to do. You know,
so the fucking Crypt Keeper comes out and he kicks all their asses, right? But then, okay, so what I didn't understand is this is apparently Jesse's great-grandfather named Jesse, by the way, which is like, just give him a different fucking name because now we're going to have two Jessies.
But well, they had that Batman versus Superman moment like, hey, Jesse, I'm Jesse.
Oh, why you're did my... you say that herb? He came out of his grave being like, who said Jesse?
Martha? But yeah, that's why they have the same names, so that the grandfather would know that it is his grandson and they could team up and work together.
Yeah, that's great.
That bullshit. Just move on.
Also, why was he
keep this thing rolling?
Why was he wearing a fucking skull mask?
He's in a fucking death mask. He's like a death eater.
They never really reference that again. He takes off this mask.
Well, you know, in the Old West, when they'd bury you, they'd put you in this hideous metal mask. Just like, in case someone digs you up.
Like, do they live in the fucking Wild Wild West world? Like, the fucking Will Smith?
He fought a giant spider.
Yeah, at one point there's gonna be a fucking giant spider that comes out of a grave or some shit.
It would fit in this movie.
a black fucking sheriff?
They're all gonna have some sort of magnet death trap. Fuck that movie. Yeah. That really fits in the House universe, by the way.
Sure does.
Basically, we fucking go back to the house, and now we gotta go back to the basement. I do like this part, okay? Right?
I thought it was a weird scene, this basement scene.
I do
scene.
Like this. So now apparently this grandpa is going to live with them, but Jesse just pulls out some old shitty mattress and throws it on the floor, and he's like, well, you could sleep here.
Like, you realize that this house has multiple rooms that you could put your grandfather into a real room.
Now we have a walking corpse and a mattress in the cellar. This is turning into Hellraiser. Like, I'm hoping, like, Jesse has to start seducing men back to the basement so that Gramps can kill them. This is how we're going to bring Gramps back,
Jesse,
right?
I need meat. Fresh
Sean,
meat.
I thought you wanted to make a horror movie here. Let's do this.
But the ghost boy complains. So Gramps complains about it. And I go, but seriously, dude, you were lying in a fucking wood box for decades. So calm the fuck down, all right? But you're right. At this point, like, we've established that this world is not real. Like,
yes.
That this movie exists in. It's all sorts of bizarre.
It's fucking cartoons,
so
man.
So just... Like, why would he even try to hide the grandpa? Just be like, hey, honey, I'm home. Here's my grandpa. Hey.
I don't know, but this movie, like, loved continuity because then when they were digging him up, it was October 30th, which means now they've dug up the grandfather, which we know tomorrow is Halloween, and we get the fucking next set of scenes.
Okay, but here's what I say about this movie. What I was going to say, this movie has like characters that exist in the cartoon world and characters that exist in the real world, and they never shall meet.
It's true.
Like, basically, Bill Maher and his wife and Lana live in a different reality. And then Jesse and Charlie and the grandpa are all in this, like, there's alternate universes and dinosaurs and all sorts of shit. But nobody else from the other side sees any of this. Which leads me to believe, like, this is why it's so fucking confusing to me.
This needed an ending where it's like Jesse's having a nervous breakdown.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely
like, none of this was real. We need the dream.
If they would have dropped the plot of the singer girl.
Yeah.
And they never had Charlie.
Oh, they will drop it.
Yeah, they will have dropped it eventually. But if they never had Charlie meet the girlfriend, we could have Charlie be a figment of his imagination.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how
they could just do it right now.
The other thing that I think would have made this movie better, not to jump ahead to what could have made this movie better, was we ditch all that subplot stuff with the infidelity girl misunderstanding bullshit, and we make both Charlie and Jesse 13 years old.
You know what? It does seem
this
like
this movie works.
Like they should have been
Boys.
Kids.
It's
they
a Hardy Boys mystery.
They should
be
have been fucking
as you want
kids.
With all this portal bullshit. Ratzenberger could still show up as that cool electrician guy. Like it all. This movie would be actually kind of cool if these dudes were 13.
Yeah, it would
not grown ass men like, trying to get the dicks wet. You know,
it would have made so much more sense if this was an actual kids movie and there were kids in it.
Just go for it. Make a kids movie.
Yeah, they should have. You know
We'd
what? It would have been
this
a better
thing before Monster Squad every Halloween.
It would have been just like Monster Squad.
It'd be
like
great.
It would have made perfect
this would be
sense.
A perfectly acceptable like preteen kind of into horror Halloween movie
yeah.
for a little kid to watch.
But instead it's like we're making a kids movie with you like two guys with boners running around.
Yeah. That's a very specific audience that no one should be catering to. It's like for a man with an erection.
Just imagine how creepy the fucking Goonies would be if all the guys were in their 30s. You know what I mean?
It's like kind of like how Brolin just did a photo where he's dressed like his character from the Goonies. Like if we just did it again.
Like you have Brolin and you have Sean Astin now.
Sean Astin, yeah.
Like imagine like you, Bobby and I going around, going under wells. And
yeah. Now like take 30-year-old Chunk hanging out with Sloth.
Like we'd
have the same, more appropriate.
The same relationship though. They're just like eating candy bars and running around.
Okay, so
moving on.
Basically, the ghost, he's like, well, I'm not tired. I have been sleeping for a long time, right? I want to go out in the town and do a little high stepping. And then they...
Yeah, that's his words, not mine.
Is that how's that Third Reich
well,
doing?
Well, he is a really old white man, so, you know, that's... It kind of makes sense.
So they tell him, hey, it's not a good idea. And then we have to see a scene where the ghost grandpa looks in the mirror and he's like, oh, I'm dead.
Look at me. I'm a 170-year-old fart, he says at one point.
But, like, I guess he was saying something like it shouldn't have worked that way. Like,
he shouldn't have got old.
He was supposed to not
age. But they never explain
any
of that
shouldn't
bullshit.
Shouldn't have decomposed or something.
Yeah, we're talking about some episode we didn't see.
Yeah.
You know what I was going to say? They should have just
That's
been
in the
like.
Comic, I'm sure.
Yeah, just ask Ralph Macchio. They should have been like...
Let's ask the wrong Ralph Macchio about this movie.
They should have just...
I wasn't in this. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was like, and knowing where this movie goes at the end, I'm like, they should have just been like, you know what, Gramps, it was real nice seeing you, but I think we should put you back in the ground.
And he objects, but they put him in anyway.
They're like, no, we're going to put you and the skull back in the ground.
They're nailing the lid shut. He's banging on it. I want to live.
How much better would this movie have been if Charlie and Jesse were trying to get the grandpa back in the ground? Like, they were like, we got to get him the fuck out of here, dude. He's ruining our lives. They're like, I know.
We're never going to get laid again.
This just becomes like a weird Weekend at Bernie's sequel.
Yes.
We got to get Bernie back in his car.
But they're like trying to kill him.
Yeah. But he can't die because he's already dead.
Yeah, they're like trying to figure out a way to kill this fucking guy.
Home Alone traps.
Yes.
It's just this grandpa zombie. It's undead Yosemite Sam getting hit with paint cans.
No, eventually it's just Pitfall the game.
So we go like, okay, we go to the bedroom and Jesse sneaks into bed while Charlie and the ghost ghost grandpa go into a sports car.
A 1986 Alfa Romeo Spider.
Yeah, which apparently Charlie can afford.
And apparently Grandpa figures out how to drive very quickly.
And Charlie does not give a shit about this car. So there's money.
Charlie's like a rich, some sort of rich guy. I don't know.
But why is he trying to, I don't get the fucking scam of trying to be a producer.
If he's he doesn't need to try and make
to
his
be
girlfriend.
Sleazy,
like, he should be Bill Maher. He should already be on that level if that's the case. This guy's, he's driving Maher's car.
Yep.
Because I swear to God, like Bill Maher just rides up in a Volvo or something.
That is a more interesting movie. However this happened.
They go
out. That's the one thing I couldn't get past though. Is like Grandpa comes from a time when like
horse
you
and
rode
buggy.
You rode horses. And he hops into this sports car and he's not shitting his pants about
this.
No,
he's ready to go.
He's just like, yeah, okay, cool.
He doesn't think any of these things weird. He's like, what do you mean lights just turn on? Like you don't need a light a candle?
This is you almost have a caveman living in now, and he's just like, accepting of all of it.
He's like, oh great, a horse with wheels, sounds great. Like he doesn't even say that it's something like that. He's like, oh, one of them motor carriages or something.
I can't drive a stick shift.
Oh, it's a motor. Yeah,
grandpa's joyriding in a spider.
Like he's like, wait, they don't have just steam? Like there's a combustion engine, and his head just explodes because he's now into the modern
era.
This
should have been how they re-killed him to get him back in his grave.
The only thing I can say is that we know that this house has the ability to time travel back, so maybe it has the ability to time travel forward, and he had adventures.
Oh, this
in
is some Back to the Future 2 thing.
Oh, that's interesting. So, okay.
Fuck yeah, I don't want to go that deep on this movie.
Grandpa's going,
nobody went
roads.
That deep on this movie. All
right,
movie.
So they basically just get drunk in a field which is basically right next to the house. Like, they just drove down the fucking driveway
and
got drunk.
They're getting wasted. Charlie is wearing Grandpa's hat, which is cute and all, but Grandpa has been dead for 160
fucking
years.
Maggot
or so,
ridden hat.
And he's put it on his head.
That thing probably has fucking cholera in it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yellow fever.
Charlie dies 5 minutes after this movie.
Yeah, I got a theory about that, actually. I can't wait.
We'll get to that.
So then Charlie is... Okay, is Charlie related to this ghost too? Because he keeps calling him Gramps and all this stuff.
I think Charlie just rolls with it. He's just like, fuck yeah, you're Gramps. Let's do
this.
Right.
So yeah, Charlie's a man in search of everything, really.
Well,
in search
as we've
of a family,
established, thanks
in search
to
of friends.
Both Charlie and Grandpa don't actually exist. So this is all just Jesse's hallucinations that this is happening. Which explains how he mysteriously has all this money.
Like, I think
none of that makes sense because none of this is happening.
Yeah, I think you might be right, Hughes.
I would hope so.
So then we go to the next
house
day.
Isn't real.
And now Bill Maher
Jesse's
is
the oldest man.
finally, Bill Maher gets in this
Bill
movie. By the way,
fucking Maher.
This movie feels like it's been going on for an hour already and it's only like 30 minutes in.
Bill Maher, okay, but it goes fast. Bill Maher shows up and apparently he's Kate's boss and they found, quote, the Madonna of the 80s.
Which I thought...
I was like, uh-huh.
But then didn't they have a call out that, wait, there already is a Madonna of the 80s? It's called Madonna? They... brought that line into the movie.
I don't know. But then Kate and Lana comes downstairs, and they leave to go to lunch with Mar, and Lana's dressed like a fucking idiot, is what I write.
There's a great interaction that happens here with Mar meeting Jesse for the first time. Or is it Charlie? It's one of these guys. Where Mar, with his comedy gold, says...
with his dry wit.
Who's your friend, Bozo the Clown? And the response is, Bozo the Death Machine.
Was there also like another line about Reagan being a pussy?
Yeah, we got something like that in there too.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. We go to the basement and Jesse and Charlie walk in on the ghost grandpa watching TV. He's not confused by the TV, but he's confused at how you get to a bottom of a tissue box.
Yeah, the tissue box is blowing his mind, but he's already bitching about there being nothing to watch on TV.
Yeah.
He says, I wrote this down, all these channels, but nothing interesting to watch. And that's when we get to the Reagan shit talk.
He switches the channel, and Ronald Reagan's on TV, and he calls him a pansy and says he wouldn't have lasted 10 minutes in the old days. And I'm like, how does he know who Ronald Reagan is?
TV Guide.
Like, he's been watching Ronald Reagan for less than a minute, and he's like, look at this little bitch. Like, what the hell?
Look at that bitch.
You know, back in my day, we used to roll these guys.
Well, I mean, Reagan probably wouldn't have lasted 10 minutes in the real Wild West. He probably wouldn't have.
Wait, a rich white person wouldn't do well in the Wild West? I think he'd be fine.
He was a fucking actor. He wasn't like a real tough guy.
He'd be fine.
I mean, have you seen Bedtime for Bonzo? He's right opposite an ape.
Yeah, so did Clint Eastwood, though.
Wait, didn't Clint Eastwood do some
and
sort
Charlton
of like...
Heston. They've all started up as apes.
That's how you'd be a real tough guy.
That's how you know you're a real man.
Did they ever have a Burt Reynolds ape movie?
Oh, I'm sure. Wait, wasn't...
or is that just Dom DeLuise?
I feel like there had to be.
Oh, wait, no. Smokey the Bandit 3 did have an ape, but it wasn't Burt Reynolds, right?
No. He was done with it. Only flashback. Basically, they talk about Slim Razor, and this is a sore spot for the ghost boy, grandpa, because he shot him, and they couldn't agree on who owned the skull.
He got shot and left to die in the Mojave, as he establishes.
Then basically, grandpa regales them with old stories about how he used to rob stagecoaches, and like what I write is the most bizarre montage editing sequence of the same shots just faded into each other. Yeah.
Though I do argue that this is the most realistic part of this movie, because if my great-great-grandpa rose up as a zombie and started telling me old stories about what shit he did, I'd sit there for hours, too. Like, I'd
pull up
some floor and be like, you go, zombie
grandpa. All right, let's do it. But they listen so long, they didn't even realize as they go upstairs, apparently they have a massive party that's been set up and going on right now.
Charlie set this
party up,
and he has the line, I invited some people over for Halloween, but then I forgot, sorry. Which is the laziest fucking way to establish this. I'm just like, yeah, we're about to go into a Halloween party scene. Get ready.
Yeah, here we go.
That's all it is. Just like, fuck it.
So they go to this party, and then then some lady named Rochelle comes up. She's dressed like a French maid, and she goes up to Jesse and then just kisses him right on the lips.
You know how, like, when you run into an old ex, they just make out with you? You know how that happens? I don't know about you guys, but I know every time an ex of mine sees me in public, she just grabs me.
Yeah, she's just like, just hey, Bobby, come here, and gives you a little of the old tongue.
Yeah, they completely forget that we're not together anymore.
Oh, it just felt so right. Like, so she just comes up and fucking French maid French kisses him, right?
And Mar sees this from across the party.
Yeah, Mar's like, got him.
And immediately is just like, hey, to the current girl. He's like, I need to talk to you.
Yeah, and so he takes Kate away. And Ghost Boy, Ghost Gramps, has made his way upstairs to join the party.
Well, yeah, right? He's got to show him how it's done.
And then Jesse freaks out, but Charlie's like, well, it's no problem because it's Halloween and he blends right in. I was like, well, he's not wrong. He just looks like a fucking guest. And then the skull starts glowing, and then we cut to a door from upstairs opening, and some undead buff dude walks out of the room and joins the party.
Now, I don't have the actor's name, unfortunately, but for you listeners who may actually know this guy, he played Buzzsaw in The Running Man.
So Buzzsaw from The Running Man shows up.
The guy who gets split in twain with a chainsaw by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He bumps into a lady, and then this guy in a gorilla outfit tells him to watch it.
Another cameo, the guy in the gorilla outfit is Kane Hodder, who also played Jason in the same movie Lark Park Lincoln was in.
You know, he looks so much smaller than this guy, too.
Oh, he's tiny in this
gorilla
suit.
It's crazy how much smaller he is than him. And it's interesting, Kane Hodder is a big dude.
And it's funny, because Kane Hodder is a legit tough guy. And if you take a photo op with him, he's going to strangle you. I've heard a lot of stories about people getting their necks injured because he actually squeezes your throat when he takes a photo with you at a convention.
He's method, He's a real Daniel Day-Lewis.
he's the Daniel Day-Lewis of slasher movies. Yet, he's playing such comedy in this. He's clean-shaven with a weird perm, and he's just like making goofy faces as he gets punked out in a gorilla
suit. Yeah, and he's like, fuck you, guy. And then the buzzsaw throws him off the
the railing.
And because he's Kane Hodder, he takes that stunt. Like, he flies off the railing.
And then he just lands on a couch. And I write, so, and but nobody seems to even care or notice, as if this is all just a dream.
80s parties. Telling you. Also, this is all in Jesse's head.
Yeah, yeah.
This party didn't happen.
That so giant guy doesn't 45 exist. 45
is going to walk in and start shooting
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy, that giant guy didn't exist.
No one even acknowledges him, except for the guy in the monkey suit.
Yeah.
Which is how we know that this giant guy is a real man. He's interacting with an ape.
So the buff guy comes downstairs, right? So Buzzsaw comes downstairs, and then the French maid lady asks to meet Jesse out back for a little bit, but he's preoccupied with this zombie buff guy. And then, so he walks, like, Jesse walks over to Kate, and she slaps him, and he's like, oh, you're an asshole.
Because we need this subplot.
Like, there's this whole thing where, like, the big buff guy, like, grabs the fucking skull.
Hey, backhands grandpa.
They're trying to do so much in this little scene.
You can't keep up with
it. For no reason.
But then Jesse and Charlie follow him, and then they open the door where he went to in the house with the skull, and it's now a fucking jungle. It's like, and I write,
sure,
okay,
I'm glad they
I'm
set
like,
that up for
so
us.
So fucking Robin Williams is going to show up at some point, because now we're in fucking Jumanji.
Yep.
Like,
you mean The Rock.
Oh, yeah, no.
The upcoming one, that isn't that new Jumanji that has nothing to do with a magical game.
Well, what's the point of that?
Apparently it's about like a video game now. Like, it's basically Tron. We're stuck in a video game.
Oh.
It's no longer a magical board game that makes...
Wonderful.
So it's not Jumanji.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We go to later, and Bill Maher is comforting Kate, right? Because she's all freaked out, and she needs a Valium. And then Jesse doesn't seem to care at all. He doesn't care about Kate. He doesn't care about Bill Maher.
Because he knows none of this is real.
A fucking 12-year-old boy who is now like, oh boy, I'm going to go on an adventure, and there's a fucking jungle in my house. And
if he was 12, this would work.
And the ghost cowboy is like, you need to go get that skull, and don't worry, because that guy who took it's a real pussy. So Charlie and Jesse go back to the Jumanji room, right? And Charlie apparently has a fucking Uzi.
That's what my notes do. Charlie pulls out a fucking Uzi that he just had.
He has one Uzi, but then he gives a little pea shooter to Jesse.
Yep.
And then they charge in the room, and they just start firing wildly into the jungle.
Yeah,
right?
They go 1, 2, 3, and then just Scarface.
Yeah, and then they fire into Jumanji. Nothing happens. They walk into the jungle set, and it looks very much like a set. Like, it's the fucking Pee Wee Herman movie, and he's riding around at the end of that movie on his bike through all the different Tarzan sets and everything.
Nuns are chasing him.
Are those like Land of the Lost?
My notes actually says in all caps, what is this Land of the Lost bullshit?
So there's like a sleaze stack? That's gonna
absolutely.
And he's looking more and more. I write, this is looking more and more like the Indiana Jones ride.
I wrote that this movie has really changed from where we started.
Yeah, you're like, the fuck are we going? Because all of a sudden now there's a stop motion dinosaur. So it really has
why the fuck not?
It has become Land of the Lost. And then they stop. Okay, they stop at a campfire, and the skull's in plain sight. And then basically, like, they go to get it, and the buff guy comes out. He headbutts Charlie, and then Jesse tries to shoot him with his gun, but it's just a lighter.
Yeah, a little flame comes out the end of it. Which he references when he hands it to him. He says, what is this, like a lighter?
But I
swear to... Which buries the joke.
So when they opened the door and jumped out and they shot the Uzi, and he shot
his gun. He was shooting his handgun.
There it is.
It doesn't make any sense.
I wrote that down, Hughes. Yeah. I was like, I could swear he shot the bullets from that gun.
At least he would know if he had a lighter or not. Squeeze one round off as you go in if you have a guy shooting an Uzi next to you.
That's what you do with a gun, right? Just squeeze one round
off. Just squeeze one to make sure that's loaded.
Just a quick squeeze.
It's
know?
Like you clear the chamber.
No, officer. I was just checking that it was loaded.
Safety first, officer.
Nobody's ever...
Officer, I mean drill sergeant.
Yeah, nobody's ever died from an unloaded gun.
That's the Chris Hughes guarantee.
I would just like to say that Sean did respond to me on that, Hughes, and he says that is a saying.
It is and it isn't. The way that they present it in the movie is not how they present it at the... Treat the gun as if it's always loaded.
Yeah.
Not treat the gun that's unloaded and people die from unloaded guns.
Yeah. Much like all the other dialogue, they fuck that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck
but we've
that
already
movie
done
too.
A Hell Squad
basically,
episode.
Basically what happens is that buff guy gets eaten by a stop motion monster.
It's like a whale rat.
Yeah, it will never come back, by the way.
No, it's just
eats
this
him,
thing shows up to get rid of the caveman.
And then they
and that's
hold
a champagne wrap on Buzzsaw.
They hold up the fucking skull, and it's like, in my opinion, this is the mark of a bad movie, is if a fucking giant bird shows up and takes your item like
fucking
it's a goddamn egg.
Pterodactyl.
You mean the new fucking character?
So this pterodactyl comes by and steals this skull, okay? This is when I write, what the fuck is happening in this movie?
What are we even watching?
Where have we gone? Like, in one scene, I'm seeing Bill Maher try to fuck a lady. Now we're so far from that. Like,
What is happening? We were in a plot with them digging up a grandpa and like some lady trying to be Madonna, and it's like there's like 90 different movies mixed into one here.
You look
here.
At Last House on the Left, and then you look at Friday the 13th. Come on, Cunningham. Like, you know how to tell a linear story.
You know what? 1987, there was a lot of cocaine. And I mean a lot of cocaine. On the set of House 2, the movie built on a house of cocaine is basically what this movie is.
Machine guns and cocaine, just like Scarface.
I've never seen so much coke on screen. Like, it's just, they have fucking lost it.
There's a haze in all the shots.
I mean, we go to, like, fucking Jesse's climbing this tree.
Yeah, so he climbs up and he confronts this Jeff Dunham puppet.
That's exactly what this thing is. It's a fucking Muppet.
It's squawking at him, and I expected to pan over and have Jeff Dunham standing there.
I swear you can see a hand coming into it.
Yeah, Jim Henson has arrived. You know what I mean? Like, the Henson shop was making the fucking birds for this movie or something.
Oh, there's no attempt to make any of this make sense.
No. This is like the Muppets do horror.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson had Meet the Feebles. That's like his forgotten movie.
Oh, my God.
Where it's basically a Muppet
forgotten
show.
Forgotten for a reason. It's bad.
But he retrieves the skull and then gets swiped by the puppet pterodactyl, and he falls out of the tree, seemingly to his doom. But then, crash, he falls back into the house.
He falls into the basement.
Yeah.
And this is where I write this in my notes. What the fuck am I watching? I mean, seriously, what the fuck am I watching?
All right, so in my notes at the same exact moment, the fact I have to write about what is happening right now is just insulting.
Because it gets worse, by the way. It gets worse. Everybody in the house is looking around like, what was that crash? And then we see a fucking Muppet caterpillar dog.
The puppy pillar?
I fucking forgot about that. The puppy.
You forgot about it.
The dog caterpillar thing.
The caterpillar with a dog's face.
And it's biting Charlie's leg. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, this is as low as I've gotten in my life. Like, I'm covering this movie for a podcast.
Like, this is...
Amazon for a stool and a rope.
This is Mom and Dad Save the World caliber puppeteering.
This is so bad.
This is like... This is the dank crystal.
They walk over...
That's what we're watching right now.
It gets fucking worse because like a fucking 12-year-old, they look over and they see this like little bird going upstairs. They're like, oh, mom's going to catch us.
Pterodactyl puppet running through. I wrote in my notes in all caps again. What is this Sesame Street bullshit?
And it's got the skull. Uh-oh.
These were 12-year-olds, this would be fine. But they're not. They're 35.
We're talking about a fucking dog caterpillar puppet.
Who's
doing?
Pumping a leg.
So if you watch that scene, you can see the arm.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No
definitely.
Question.
Like, it's so... like fucking Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
The Insult Comic Pillar.
Yeah, I mean, we
fucking... like, oh, what? God, if that thing started talking and telling everybody off.
So then...
if that's not enough, right, what's going on?
Nice crystal skull for me to boobot.
The Donut Pterodactyl runs off. The fact that they've introduced this all into the movie and then they revisit the love triangle plot.
Yeah, like,
why?
Anybody cares about that anymore.
Like, pick one.
I'm like, okay, so the fucking main character doesn't care about it. Why do we? Like, why do we?
How do we have to
like,
carry this?
Mar is still trying to fucking Cosby this girl and give her a goddamn cocktail. He's innocent, by the way.
Yeah.
No, it was a mistrial. He just wasn't proven guilty.
Okay, so Mar's trying to Cosby.
Admitted it and got a mistrial anyway. He's America.
He's trying to fucking give her the Cosby cocktail. But then, like, these fucking Muppets keep showing up. But, like, again, Bill Maher's in a different movie. Like, he's... I wouldn't be surprised if he saw this. He's like, what the fuck? Is there puppets in this movie?
I have no idea what movie he would think this was.
Oh, God.
Okay, imagine, like, look, from his point of view, he sees none of these weird outtakes of Legends of the Hidden Temple. He just sees, like, oh, you know, I caught this guy cheating on his girlfriend. I'm so trying to get with that girl. This is my,
she's kind of hot. Let's do this.
And he's in the movie for all of, like, 5 minutes.
And that's it. And it works because he leaves with her.
Yeah, because basically, like, okay, so then there's this whole thing where, like, oh, the bird got in the kitchen, and then Jesse's, like, trying to get it out, and Bill Maher's like, hey, what's going on in there? And he comes in with Kate.
At this point now, we're watching two generic mulleted white men try to out-sarcasm each other.
Yeah,
it is horrible. I'm like, these dudes look alike. They're both talking with the same
It's a real smarm fest.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just, like, it's disgusting. I couldn't handle it. I almost stopped the movie. That's when I hit my breaking point. It's these two guys with like bullet perms and trying to out-snark each other.
And Marv's just like, what's in the closet? And he's like, nothing. And he's like, I think there's something. And he's like, no, there's not. And he's like, I think you got a girl in there. And this is when I write my notes. I'm going to read it exactly to you. I write, tell Marv to leave.
Yeah, this and is I your write, house.
Like, seriously, Marv, why are you still fucking here?
As
like,
far as I can tell, he was never invited to begin
and
with.
And then I also wrote, do you think he'll call that ghost a racial slur?
He's like, what are you doing in my house? He says, because I'm a house... Okay, now...
I was going to say he's really upset there's no women of color in this party.
House 5 is called House 8, right? That's... We return to the Bill Maher character.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, so then Kate shows up and Jesse basically tells her the exact truth, right? And nobody cares.
Jesse,
like literally no character cares.
Gives
it's
the entire
not just
plot.
They don't believe it. It's that they don't give
they
a shit.
They just look at him and they're like, shut the fuck up. That was not in any script I read. Those are not in my pages. And then Bill Maher opens the fucking cabinet and the French maid shows up again. And he's like, oh, sure. See, I told you. And then Kate like leaves with Bill Maher, right?
Yep.
And he fucking...
She's done, right? She's gone.
They opened the closet, found the script, and went, nope. And they walked out of the movie.
That's a wrap on Bill Maher. He really, honestly, he saved his fucking career. He didn't have to interact with a fucking Muppet.
He prolonged it.
Little did he know if he would have opened up the other cabinet, he would have been face to face with a Muppet pterodactyl.
Although, if
just to watch him deal with
you
that.
You know what, though? This
I
movie,
don't want to watch him try to out-sarcasm a Muppet pterodactyl.
This movie really could have used, like, Bill Maher trying to out-sarcasm a Muppet pterodactyl, but then the Muppet dactyl biting him in the dick and running around the house. Like,
I
really could have used
that. I just want to see the Muppet pterodactyl squawk in a sarcastic way. Just like,
I want to see Maher running around going, what the fuck? A dactyl on his
just on his crotch. Just the limp puppet because no one's puppeteering it.
Yes.
He's just gonna run around and try and sell it.
That would have been great.
This movie would have been so different if Jesse would have been played by Dennis Miller.
Oh my god, can you imagine the fucking smart fest we'd have?
Oh my god,
he's like fucking telling Napoleon jokes.
Look baby, this is like Henry VIII and just like, what are you talking about? There's a dinosaur in the kitchen.
A pterodactyl. This is like Queen Elizabeth the River, and you just shut the fuck up.
Oh, God.
Well, call me Archduke Ferdinand, eh? Fucking. So basically, Maher leaves, right? Okay. Then we go back to the kitchen, and Ghost Grandpa's like, hey, look, it was a trap door, and I had this French maid on the other side. And then she's very drunk, and Jesse's like, hey, can you call her a cab, Charlie? And he's like, yeah, sure. That's a wrap on her.
Cool.
We've planted that in the movie. Let's just fucking forget it.
Why
you know
not?
What I mean? Let's forget the fact that anybody's married or anything. Let's just fucking go with it, right?
And that's fine. You know, I didn't need it anyway. Just go.
And I read at this point, though, I go, this movie just assumes that we know who the fuck these people are and what they're doing. I go, I still don't know who Charlie is.
No clue.
Fucking idea.
I'm not sure about any of these people. Like, I don't know why we needed Bill Maher.
Honestly, Bill Maher might be one of the only good parts of this movie.
And that's
just
really saying something.
Just because he's something different. Like, at least there's something kind of going on with that.
Like, I don't want it, but it breaks it up.
It's like, if anything, I wish Jesse would have left and they would have just kept Maher. Like,
our main character just checks it. You can just grab the cab.
Yeah, just go ahead.
And now we're dealing with Bill Maher just sarcastically.
I would rather
with all this.
See Bill Maher interact with the Muppets than Jesse.
God. That becomes Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death, right? Where it's Bill Maher in the jungle just dealing with some shit.
I would have much rather see Bill Maher go to those fucking temple guards at the end and just be like, hey.
Oh, the gang of Mayans that jump grandpa?
Hey, guys, there's an easier way to get a virgin, you know?
And then one of the Mayans pulls off his headdress and he's Dennis Miller.
You know,
that's the Freddy versus Jason we really want.
They really need a fucking Maher Miller like grudge match, you know?
Like anti-buddy comedy?
Yes. Now that each one's on one side of the political spectrum.
And they're
like,
equally obnoxious about it.
Yes, we need it. So we go to the basement and the fucking dog-a-pillar.
is Catterpuppy?
Yeah, Catterpuppy is drinking beer from a bottle with the grandpa, and then Jesse comes down. He's
zombie
like,
"Zombie grandpa's giving beer to a Catterpuppy."
Jesse comes down. He's like, "Hey, Gramps, I got that skull thing, right?" And then the grandpa puts it back on the fireplace, and then the fucking temple guards come out and start attacking
he
everybody.
Hasn't built the monkey.
He didn't have. Yeah, he didn't build the monkey. He didn't have that pendant. He couldn't get rid of them, right? And they fucking take the skull, and then Jesse wakes. Okay. Apparently, Charlie's fallen asleep.
Yeah, he's soundly sleeping with a wiffle ball bat.
Because we get the old wake-up gag.
Of course.
Where he's just like, you know, oh, wake up, wake up. And they tell him they're like the fucking skull is stolen. And then basically, this is where this movie picks up because Cliff from Cheers arrives.
The guy from Cheers shows up as an electrician and starts doing some shtick and testing the walls.
He's kind of acting like an off-brand Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Like, that's clearly what they're going for
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a little bit of too much of Dan Aykroyd in this movie.
Oh,
Crystal
yeah.
skulls, PKE meters. So Cliff walks in. I do like it, though. He is great, this movie.
Absolutely.
He walks in and immediately like breaks a fucking vase or something with this big case. And he goes, hey, didn't look too expensive. And then he walks over and he goes, these old houses got a mind of their own. Just got to give them a good spanking. And lifts up like a lampshade and then just hits. He breaks a screw, like breaks a light bulb with a screwdriver.
He's fantastic. And at this point, he's we've been in the desert for like an hour now, and he's just a cool pond that it's we like, come across. Just, oh, thank you, Rappenberg.
Where were you? Like, where were you for the rest of this
he
movie?
He was hanging out with Normie at the bar.
You know, I hear that Norm was in House 1.
He is, yeah. There's a good Cheers connection.
It all comes back to Cheers.
Yep.
It always does.
And so then, okay, he does take out a PKE meter. Like,
see?
Basically a fucking Ghostbuster tool. Like, if only Slimer appeared.
I think that's the Catterpuppy, right?
There you go. And he takes his PKE meter out, and then he's like, oh, I've seen all this before, real touch and go. Then he goes, why don't you come into my office over here? Hey, I need to work alone. And sends Jesse out of the room. And then I love this part is, so he just goes on the ground and he just starts pulling out a fucking cord from the wall.
Yeah, and just starts tearing up the wall.
And he pulls it out and
that
just
thing goes like a hangnail.
Yeah.
And just starts moving its way up.
And he just goes, whoops. And then just starts doing it more.
Until he's full on made a new hallway.
And then basically he tells him, he's like, hey, you guys got to come in here and check this out, right? And they comes in, and this is probably the best line in the whole movie. Is Cliff looks at him, he goes, well, there it is. Looks like you got some sort of alternate universe in here or something.
Yeah, or something. You got some kind of alternate universe in here or something.
And there's like a fucking Mayan temple. Like the end of Legends of the Hidden Temple, the final room, that big ball pit is right there.
And he's unfazed. He acts like he's seen this before.
He says he has seen it before. Because then when they go in, he goes, hold on, you need a professional in there. He sends them in, and then.
Doesn't he have like that spool of line that he's going to.
Yeah, he has a line.
So they can get their way back out.
So but then he also has like what I rate is a Prince of Persia cutlass.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. Ratzenberger's got a magic sword. Just in case.
And so then they go into the temple entrance, and Cliff does call Jesse the F word.
Yeah, I have that written down too. Because Jesse admits to his best friend that he's kind of scared right now. And he turns back and goes, don't be a fag.
Isn't that Cliff that says it, or is that
Cliff
Charlie?
No, Cliff doesn't say it. It's Charlie because he's that guy.
Cliff calls
no, Cliff does
the
not
F-word.
Call him.
I don't think you can call you get a Disney
see,
person to
yeah,
say
I was
that.
Like, did they see that on his Pixar? You want to be in Toy Story? Yeah. Well, let's check.
No,
take a look at this House 2 movie.
If Ratzenberger had said that, we'd have a YouTube edit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
There'd be scenes from Toy Story where he's responding to Woody that way.
Woody and the dinosaur.
I think I still might do it. So then we go into the Temple of Doom, okay? These Mayan dudes are sacrificing a woman and using the skull.
It's a real Kali Ma situation.
I swear he's saying Kali Ma.
Might as well.
And then Charlie like swings on a rope and then basically they save this virgin girl.
Yeah,
right?
I have written down, what is this Errol Flynn bullshit?
Like they save a fucking, what looks like an underage girl. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's a teenager.
No, she's not, but yeah. She becomes the new love interest.
Sure does.
Yeah, yeah, the 13-year-old.
Maybe in the script, Charlie and Jesse were 13.
Yeah.
maybe I wasn't that far off in the idea, but they just messed up and cast a couple adults.
They're like, well, we actually couldn't get any parents to agree to put their kids in this movie.
Sex doesn't really happen in this movie. It's just, I saw you.
They're not interested
in it. I saw you kiss your old girlfriend at the sixth grade Halloween dance.
Like, Kate was supposed to be his mom. Like.
So they save this girl, right? And then Bill's going to fight Cliff is going to fight these people and give them time to go follow the line.
Yeah.
But do you hear him talking to the girl in like this weird tone? Like she doesn't speak English. So he's like, you should follow the rope.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody talks at her like she's a fucking idiot. She hasn't even said one word and they all talk to her like she's fucking like, I don't know, like Forrest Gump or something.
You know, like you talk to somebody who speaks a different language. You just speak your own language louder and more slowly really and that should fix it.
Yeah, she's talking to her like, just like that. He does say something right when he's fighting all those guys, though, about something. He's like, hey, no, don't worry about me. I'll be at my kid's baseball game later. Got the Little League to catch. And then they leave the Mayan temple, and he's already outside.
Yeah, he beat them out, which is great. I thought it was hilarious. Amazing.
And Charlie references
it. That was a rough one, wasn't it?
Charlie references it. He's like,
He's like, it happens all the time.
And then he gives him a card. Well, he looks at that lady like Trump speaks to the help. You know what I mean? Like he looks at his and he goes, Cleano. Cleano.
Clean. Olympia.
God.
And he hands his business card.
And says, Bill Towner, electrician and adventurer. And I want the Bill Towner series.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to watch needed that movie. I want three of those movies.
So then we go to dinner. And I write, there is less than 20 minutes left in this movie, and we're getting a fucking dinner scene?
A great dinner scene.
The boys prepare for Gramps. Okay, boys are preparing dinner.
Yeah.
For Gramps, the dog-a-pillar, and that fucking bird.
And the virgin.
And the virgin. And then Charlie.
This is the worst bar joke. Like, it's just set up to be the dumbest fucking. This is a joke your dad tells you.
I'm just wondering, like, in my notes, I'm like, how did we get here?
How did this movie then, start with
like a Talking Heads song? Like, how did I get here?
Charlie, they're in the kitchen and he's like staring at this girl who's making like fucking tortillas in the corner. You know what I mean? She's got like maize in her hand. I'm serious.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
And then he's like, he looks at Jesse and he's like, hey, I think she wants to fuck you. And I'm like, oh, no, Charlie.
Let's not, Charlie.
Let's not do this.
I need you to be less Charlie right now.
And then she even throws stuff at him. Because he's like, who do you like more? Can I pass you a note? It's going to say, do you like me? And there's two check boxes. Uh-huh. One yes, one no.
No, one yes and one maybe.
Oh, there you go. Yes, no, maybe. And then she writes no. Hughes, is that the one you used? Like, just
yeah,
yes, maybe.
Sixth grade.
So then Charlie, he thinks the girl likes Jesse. Yeah, okay. They sit down, and for fuck's sake, Jesse says grace. And starts petting the bird and calling everybody his family and everything.
Wow. Nothing like being religious in a Mayan temple.
Then I've lost it. You know what I mean? Like this movie is killing me.
This is the last second of his brain as he dies. This is like that.
Yeah, this is definitely a Jacob
Ladder. Anthony Hopkins movie where he gets shot on the freeway and the entire movie is just his brain folding in on itself. That's an awesome movie, by the way. It's called Slipstream. Check it out.
This is that's what was happening to me during this movie. I felt like, well, this is it. It's shutting down.
you're like, I'm having an aneurysm.
The last synapses are firing.
So this is how it ends. You look over and the bunny from Donnie Darko is sitting on the couch next to you. You're just like, yep, always do.
So then, like, okay, that ghost cowboy from the movie in the beginning appears, the ghost boy. And I was like, so there's misdirection. Yeah. Because I thought that the grandpa was the guy who killed all the people at the beginning.
Oh, you did?
Because I was like, is that what I'm supposed to think?
Oh, that would have been great. And he just kills everybody there.
A heel turn at the end of the movie?
I thought there was going to be a heel turn, but it didn't happen.
Instead, we get zombie David Crosby coming up through the table.
Yeah, he comes up through the table. He's taking the skull, right? And then, like, there's this big fucking fight that goes on. And, like, basically, Grandpa gets shot by the fucking thing.
Again.
And he dies. And we have to see a long, protracted Grandpa dying scene.
Why is a character that's already dead having a death scene?
I just kept writing in my notes at this point. I'm like, they should have just fucking buried that grandpa and that skull back in the ground because none of this was happening.
I like that he goes like, as he's dying, he goes like, Jesse, he's the one that killed your parents. And then that's how we start this other ending of another movie.
But I'm just like,
he literally
okay,
jumps into a different movie.
You know what? This skull doesn't really seem to do much of anything.
Apparently like, it keeps grandfather alive.
At some point, just say, fuck it. No, because at one point he gives it, like, so basically he kills the ghost zombie in, like, a fucking scene. Like, he goes into the Wild West at some point.
Yeah.
And Charlie and the Virgin are being hung in, like, the town square. And I said, they should please just hang them.
This movie will not end.
I know. It just keeps going.
And then cops show up.
But why isn't this Old West thing? For all you listeners who aren't from Southern California, we have a theme park out here called Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah.
And this is basically one of their Wild West stunt shows.
Yeah, like, they have
at
gone.
At Halloween time, we have undead cowboys running around. Shooting each other. We're trying to hang people.
Then this movie is just fucking Knott's Scary Farm.
That's all it turns into.
Like, they've just gone through a haunted maze, a haunted corn maze.
Yep.
And basically, the grandpa dies in the bed. And then, there's cops surrounding the house, right? So there's no way out for Jesse. He walks into a fucking light, like he's walking into the end, like a room, like he's walking to heaven, and he ends up in the fucking Old West now. Like he's a cowboy now, and him and Charlie.
Well, you missed the shootout with the bad guy. You missed the ending of this.
Yeah, yeah, he kills him.
He fights Slim. Slim pulls the skull out of his own stomach for some reason. It wasn't in there to begin with, but all right.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
And he says, "Now it's mine," but he does it in like the fucking Dr. Claw voice again. And Jesse starts, but the cops have surrounded this house. There is gunfire going off in the house, and the cops are just looking at each other like, "What the hell's going on in there?"
The only good part at the end though is when he does that headshot.
Yeah,
on the guy, and that head explodes hardcore.
Like, and then the headless body PG-13. Starts to shoot out with the cops.
Yeah, you know, the cops, obviously, they're shooting first. They got word that there is... Apparently, I was like, okay, so why did they even show up to the house? Who called the cops?
No clue.
I swear to God, on the radio,
I'm guessing fucking Cliff called the cop.
Because they just, like, pull up and start pulling out the SWAT guns and everything. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, it's
but it makes no sense. There's no fucking need for them.
No,
they don't add anything to it. They don't add drama. They don't add
the cops didn't show
plot.
Up when the fucking Alfa Romeo Spider was doing donuts on the lawn.
Nope, but they're apparently, and there was somebody on the radio that was like a sniper's in the window or something. It's like,
sure.
What?
Why not? And this whole like sad I love you Gramps scene as Gramps passes away and all the other scenes preceding it. Gramps is a rotting corpse and like no one's reacting to that.
Yeah, they're just like,
he's giving the corpse a hug. I mean, like, I'll miss you, dead grandpa.
Okay, this movie ends.
The house catches fire.
Yeah,
and starts burning down.
Burns down forever.
I'm assuming it burns down. The temple's gone. Whatever.
Yeah,
and then we like are now in the Wild West. Yeah. We have a carriage, a horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm.
We have the pterodactyl, the dog caterpillar. Jesse, is Gramps there?
No,
he's
buried Gramps.
Oh,
he buried Gramps. Proper burial back in his own time period.
Charlie and the Virgin are there.
And I wrote, what is this Back to the Future 3 bullshit?
Yeah, we're going to get the fucking Charlie love story next movie, you know?
I hope.
And just everyone's a cowboy because fuck it. Sure.
At the end, I hope they all die of dysentery. I was like, please, 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 some Old West disease get them. So that's it. The movie's over. Recommendations?
No.
Hard no.
I'm sorry, Sean. I'm sorry.
We love you all the same, Sean. But this one hurt.
We love you, Sean, on this show. The Grind Bin loves you.
Absolutely. You are a friend of the show for life.
You are the show. You keep the show alive. I mean, it's amazing.
But please don't hit us again.
But my God.
I'm sorry.
Whatever we did, we're sorry, Sean.
Sean, I know you probably saw this movie as a kid and loved it. I did not have that reaction. I was very coy when you asked me my feelings about this movie because I didn't want to ruin this episode. But oh my God, I cannot recommend it. It's for free on YouTube, though, and it's on Shudder, Chris's favorite streaming
service.
It's
the sixth movie.
Maybe it's on Fandor. He's still got his Shudder subscription.
Oh, God. Yeah, this movie kind of ended like Troll. If you remember how that movie ended where like you eat the mom and like...
Troll 1 or 2?
Isn't that Troll 1 where they eat the mom and she turned into the plant?
No, it's Troll 2.
Oh, Troll 2. Troll 2.
Troll 1's actually about trolls. You're talking about the one that's about goblins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Nilbog and that weird like corncob sex scene.
I haven't seen that movie since
that's
I was...
That's a great movie.
Like
that's
in third grade.
Oh, Troll 2?
Troll 2 is awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's too much... It's
too
well known.
It's a hell of a better than House 2, I'll tell you that much.
It's too well known to do on this movie.
Yeah, no. We have no reason to touch that. That's like The Room and all this other shit, that which is out of our thing anyway. But it's just like famous bad movies that I'm sure everyone's like, you should do that one. I'm like, no.
Yeah. It'd be like, yeah, if somebody buys the bin, they could do it. We'd like to say, do you guys hear that sound?
Yeah.
How do you think Bobby and DeVito would fit in on this movie? Hughes?
So there was that drunk girl that they had to escort out.
And why she disappeared.
And why she
call
disappeared.
Call her a cab. Yeah, Bobby and DeVito got a whole a gypsy cab running.
And they found that new Madonna in the lawn. They got the Rochelle.
In the lawn.
Just passed out on the lawn. They got Rochelle, the maid, to clean up the van.
Bobby, she's both a broad and a cleaner. It's double whammy here.
Either that or they were the Aztec warriors that were going to sacrifice the virgin.
That's where I was going to go with it. Damn it.
So that's Bobby's.
That was mine. Yeah, that that when they pull the virgin teenager out of the Aztec thing, they pull off their headdresses and go, wait a minute. And they got to hop back in the straight arrow and
we
take off into the jungle.
We weren't going to kill her.
Exactly.
Am I missing something? What happened to that party?
It was never actually happening.
But like,
no, I think it got shut down and they kicked everybody out.
Did they?
Maybe that's why the cops showed up. That party got too loud. Everyone had already left by the time.
What the hell?
Who knows, man?
Why are you analyzing this?
How do I think Bobby and DeVito fit in this movie? You. I feel like one of those alternate universes. When you walk into one room, you're just like, why is this room just shag? And then all of a sudden the toast just pops up. Cut to black. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Grind Bin. Boy, this summer sequel month has been an adventure so far. Next week, we finish.
Oh, man.
It's been a marathon.
The triumphant conclusion of summer sequel month.
A movie that, oh my God, I can't even fucking wait.
It's kind of the quintessential Grind Bin movie.
Yeah, this would definitely be, if there was like a self-aware Grind Bin the movie, it would probably be the movie we're covering next week. So tune in to find out what that is. You can find us on grindhousefilm.com. You can find us on Facebook at The Grind Bin Podcast, Twitter at GrindPod. We're on Instagram, Grind Bin Podcast. And I think that's about all.
Yep, you can find Hughes at twitter.com/iodinelive.
I don't really do much Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Bobby_Batson. That's about it. I don't really have much going on in my life. That's why I'm here with these guys.
Bobby!
Okay.
Fuck the skull!
Hey, Bobby, I got the money!
Yeah, I need the key!
But you're a hooker.
Get that goddamn thing out of your mouth.
I don't know.
This movie
got no real coach.
Hello, pizza man.
We're gonna play a little game, baby.
I did love funny games.
We had a little girl, a little hot corny.
This is Los Angeles.
You could have a decent once in a while. And maybe Daddy wouldn't have had a killing zombie that he couldn't get up anymore.
What a shame.
Come on, just step on the gas before we get creeped.